Good morning. This morning's reading is from, wait for it, Jonah, chapter 4, verses 5 through 11. Then Jonah went out of the city and sat down east of the city and made a booth for himself there. He sat under it in the shade, waiting to see what would become of the city. The Lord God appointed a bush and made it come over to Jonah to give shade over his head, to save him from his discomfort. So Jonah was very happy about the bush. But when dawn came up the next day, God appointed a worm that attacked the bush so that it withered. When the sun rose, God prepared a sultry east wind, and the sun beat down on the head of Jonah so that he was faint and asked that he might die. He said, "It is better for me to die than to live." But God said to Jonah, "Is it right for you to be angry about the bush?" And he said, "Yes, angry enough to die." Then the Lord said, "You are concerned about the bush for which you did not labor and which you did not grow. It came into being in a night and perished in a night. And should I not be concerned about Nineveh, that great city in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know their right hand from their left, and also many animals?" The word of God for the people of God.
It's, as I said, it's a little bit different this morning. Instead of a sermon, we are doing a play. We're concluding our sermon series about Jonah. And we've been, the first week we did chapters 1 and 2. Last week we did chapters 3 and 4. I hope you've heard those sermons either here in the sanctuary or via live stream or via podcast. If you haven't, you can go back and hear them. I hope you've read the four chapters of Jonah. And if you haven't, you can go do that. It's a very short book, but there is a lot in the book of Jonah. For such a short book, there is a lot to be said in that book. There's quite a message for us in there. This morning, we decided to give you a look at the whole of the story of Jonah. So we have a lighthearted play that we want to share with you this morning. Now, when I say that, the temptation when I say play is to think theater. But you're not in the theater, you're in church. So you don't get to just sit back and relax and be fed. You have to think and you have to enter in and you have, you have to ask yourself the question, what is God saying to me? It's not the same as one person doing a sermon, but God still is speaking to us. The author of this play took a few liberties with it, but actually it follows pretty close to the story. And what we know is God is actually the author of the story of Jonah, and there is a message for us inside of it. So we're going to watch this play, and then at the end of this time, I'll come back up, have a few words, and we'll have some time to pray as the body of Christ again. I do want to ask your, I want you to enter in. We do not have curtains or the ability to black out the room, so you will see every scene change we have. And we've got wonderful people that are doing that, but bear with us as we do that and just kind of suspend your disbelief and enter into the play. It's called It Should Happen to a Dog.
What do you want from my life? It won't stop talking to me. I've been running my whole life. Here I am, the traveler, Jonah the traveler, representing top hat, suspenders for the trousers, fair lady fancy buttons, hold tight hair grips, only the best brands in the suitcase. Ask anybody in Tarshish, ask them in Aleppo, in Carthage even, they've all heard of Jonah ben Amittai, regular visits once a month for more than 30 years. But now, I'm tired. I'm tired of all the running. Now, at last, I'm tired. I get this perfect little pitch here, so I shouldn't have to be running with a suitcase anymore. But still, it nags me. All right. I'm going. What happens to me should happen to a dog.
Say, you've got a nice pitch there.
It's nice.
So what are you doing looking so down in the mouth for?
Oh, what's the use of talking? It has to happen to me.
What happens?
This dream.
Dream?
Yes. Oh, it's the most terrible dream. It's got the voice of a little bird. In the middle hours of the night it comes, chirping, chirping. The end of the world is at hand, the end of the world is at hand.
It could be right. It wouldn't be the first time.
So let it be the end of the world. Is it my business? Am I to blame?
Well, is this all the voice says?
Certainly it's all it says. Isn't that enough? What else should it say?
Nothing. Just only if this is all the voice says, then you've got nothing to worry about. On the other hand, if it is the end of the world, what are you gonna do? But if it isn't, you still have nothing to worry about. Now take a quarter ounce there of the Archangel Gabriel tobacco.
Oh, well, that's a good brand. You know, I opened up the Tarshish territory for the Archangel Gabriel.
I never smoke anything else. Oh, and one more thing. Chirp, chirp. Chirp, chirp.
I hate birds. You know what it says to me every night? Arise, Jonah, arise. Go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it. I ask you, why pick on me? I mean, why sort me out? Chirp, 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 chirp. That's all it does all night long. Chirp, chirp, chirp. There was a time that I could sleep 15 hours straight. A short course of death. But no, no, no more. I don't sleep like that anymore. I hate birds. All right, all right. I'm going to the docks for a ship. I'm going. Certainly I'm on my way. By ship. But do you expect me to fly? Look, if you're in such a hurry and you're so clever, why don't you make me sprout a couple of wings and I'll take off? It'd be quicker by air. But no. So far, he's only invented the ship. Well, hello, shipmate. Where are you heading?
Tarshish.
Oh, Tarshish. You know, that's a beautiful place. I've got a lot of friends in Tarshish. You know, there are more people that make it to 100 years of age there than anywhere else.
Who wants to live so long?
Well, under certain circumstances, chirp, chirp, who gets to live so long? Tarshish, eh? You know, since I'm going all this way to Nineveh, where I am certainly going eventually, if I'm going to Nineveh, it makes sense that I should break my journey in Tarshish and look up some old friends. Why not? It's a crime. Oh, you take passengers?
Aye. First class or tourist?
No. Well, in the old days when I was traveling for myself, it was nothing but first class for J.B. Amitai. But under the circumstances, one tourist.
All right. Single or return?
What's the matter with you? A return, of course. I have a wonderful business waiting for me when I get back.
All right, one more tourist coming up. It'll be Tarshish return.
Tarshish, yes. I'll break my journey there, build up my strength, and oh, will I go give such a great shout against Nineveh. It's a tough territory, after all, and what difference is a couple of days gonna make? Yes, it's a beautiful day for sailing. Any more for the Skylark? Chirp! Chirp! The end of the world is at hand! Chirp, 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 chirp.
It wouldn't be too much trouble there, Governor.
Oh, the weather's come over all black all of a sudden.
Aye. In all my years, I've never seen a storm this time of year.
How far are we from Tarshish?
Are you balmy? We've been stuck out here for 5 hours. All the wind does is push us back. In all my years, I've never seen anything like it.
Oh, well, it's an interesting phenomenon, isn't it? It's caused by the electricity in the atmosphere, you understand. Take the sea serpent, for example.
I will.
The sea serpent is really just a very big eel. Science proves it.
Look, I don't take any chances. When I've exhausted every trick in the book I know, I pray. You too, Governor!
Oh, I've said my prayers already today. To duplicate would be silly. And when the evening comes, I'll say my evening prayers.
Don't take any chances. Pray now.
Oh, listen, God, please. I've given you my word that I would go to Nineveh on my honor. Look, ask anybody around here, and they'll tell you that Jonah's word is his bond. Oh, do me a favor. Look, I'll take the very first boat from Tarshish to Nineveh. The very first boat.
Have you made a sacrifice yet? We're asking all the passengers to make a sacrifice to their gods. At least that way one of them will hear it and stop this wretched storm. Now what do you have to sacrifice?
Oh. I sacrificed this beautiful meat pie, and I've only eaten a small portion of it.
Aye, that'll work. Toss it overboard with an appropriate prayer.
Right. God, remember, the very first boat from Tarshish, all right?
Ah! Ah! This is it, folks! He's the one!
No, no, that was a perfectly natural phenomenon.
No, he's the troublemaker!
And that was a perfectly normal explanation.
No. His sacrifice was definitely returned. Overboard with him! He's the one!
Oh.
Overboard!
No, don't do this to me! I'm on important business! I could drown in there!
Yeah!
Oh! What happens to me shouldn't happen to a dog!
I never liked the looks of him. He was always the troublemaker. You could live 1,000 years and never see a man swallowed by a whale. But who would believe such a story?
Smells like a garbage heap in here. Well, now what am I supposed to do? I can't get to Nineveh. All I wanted to do was go to Nineveh and cry out against it. Now look at me. Ugh. Ugh. Maybe I'm dead. Yes, that's it, I'm dead. Who'd have thought that being dead would be a blackout in a fish and chip shop? Maybe this is the end of the world. But if it isn't, and don't laugh, if it isn't, and I have happened to have been swallowed by a whale, then I categorically put it on the record that if I could go to Nineveh at this moment, then I would unconditionally, definitely go to Nineveh at this moment. Honestly, God, you have such a funny way of carrying on. You work in such mysterious ways sometimes. Now, where's Tarshish? Oh. If I'm not dead, and I'm not mistaken, and if memory serves, that great city over there in the distance is Nineveh. It should happen to a dog.
Jonah B. Amittai.
Yes, Your Majesty.
Says here you're brought here on charges of vagrancy.
Huh?
Vagrancy.
Oh.
And quite a bit of seditious nonsense about the end of the world being at hand. And what's this part? You're running around saying chirp, 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 chirp. Oh. This official business is going to be the death of me. I can't sleep at night. Too many terrifying dreams. All right, what do you have to say for yourself?
Just a minute. The Lord saith, cry out against Nineveh, that great city, for their wickedness is come up before me. Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. The end of the world is at hand. Repent, lest ye perish. End of message. So, that, in short, Your Majesty, is what I've been instructed to tell you. And if you want my opinion, I don't really care. Makes no difference to me if Nineveh is destroyed or not. For my part, it can go on being as evil as long as it wants to. But if you want my opinion, as a businessman of some experience, I always say that honesty is the best policy. A satisfied customer is always much better than government consuls, especially as I am here to tell you that the government won't last much longer anyway.
What is the source of your information on that?
A little bird tells me every night.
Bird?
Yes, a little bird. Chip, 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 chip. It does that. That's the voice it has.
The feathers, what color?
The feathers? One wing is white, the other wing is blue, the breast is red, and the tail is purple. But, you know, the funny thing about this bird is that it has one brown eye and
the other one is blue.
Oh, you're familiar with it.
I've been having the same dream.
Oh! So, your little bird is telling me 100 times a night that I should come here to you to inform you that you will be completely liquidated. Is that what I'm telling you? It's a madhouse here.
Let neither bird, man, nor beast, let them herd or flock, let none of them taste anything. Let them not eat food, not drink water, but clothe them with sackcloth, and let them cry mightily unto their God. Yea, let them help everyone turn away from their evil ways, turn away from the violence in their hands. Turn away, I say, from the violence in their hands for the sake of the smallest bird, because that small bird also is God. Who are we to say whether or not God will turn away from his fierce anger and repent so that we might perish not?
Who can tell? But if you ask me, you want my opinion, I don't think so. Otherwise, you wouldn't go to all this trouble. No. Mm-mm. No, King, this is the end. Still, it's always worth trying. There's no charge in trying. Oh! Oh, it should happen to a dog what happens to me. After all, I go to the king and I give him my personal word that the world is coming to an end in 40 days. And what happens? The 41st day is proclaimed a national holiday. Government stocks rise, and I become the biggest bloody fool in the Middle East. I'm a laughing stock, I tell you. A laughing stock. That's it, you know. I don't move. I'm going to sit here until I get a sunstroke. You could do whatever you like with Nineveh, Miniver, Shminiver, whatever. It's finished. Yet, in 40 days, Nineveh shall be overthrown. Listen to them laughing. Go ahead, laugh all you want. 3 or 4 hours from now, I won't care. And I won't hear this bird anymore, either. I hate birds. Oh! Oh! Look at this! A palm tree! Wow! Indeed. Oh! Coconuts, too. And look, they've got this little patent zipper on them. You just pull it down, drink the milk. Ice cold and delicious. Oh, look, it's the Tarshish Gazette. What a novelty. Says here that Mrs. Zintkin is expecting a third daughter. Oh, that's bad. Oh, look, young Feifel has opened a Starbucks in the High Street. That's a good position, he'll do well there. Well, this is turning into quite the summer holiday, and you know that I could use a vacation. Yep, quite a wonderful place you've got set up for me here. Lord, for land development, you're the tops.
Beautiful day.
Yes, it's marvelous weather, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, and a marvelous palm tree here. What's this? I haven't seen one of those ever.
It's got a zipper.
Oh, what will he think of next?
Okay, cut out the performance. You're an angel, right?
Archangel.
But an angel, right? Archangel, great. So, what am I being sent to do this time? Go to Nineveh, tell the king the Lord has changed his mind? Hey, you know, we'll give you another 10 days, and then we'll bring the world to an end. He made a laughing stock of me.
Oh, what are you gonna do?
Well, admitted, but still, at the same time, why does he have to put somebody like me through so much trouble? Well, only he knows, and he won't tell. He just won't tell. Oh, fancy trees yet.
Oh, it's a marvelous, marvelous tree. Sure you don't want to help yourself? Go ahead, help yourself.
Okay, maybe one more. Oh! Did you? What a terrible thing to happen to such a wonderful tree. With trees such as those, mankind could live in plenty forever. Oh, probably a quick death from a nasty palm tree disease, I suppose.
No. A small little worm crawling through the arterial system of the tree. Then it cut the life from the heart. And poof.
Well, a quick death to that worm.
Ah, you noticed something. You're feeling sorry for that worm that, after all, just killed one tree. That, after all, did not cost you any time, our money at all. I mean, God, you don't hear him complaining. He brought the tree up one night, and he took it down the next night after.
It just cranks me that a wonderful-looking tree like that should die. Besides, now I'm out again, no shade, in the hot sun, scorching, and I'll probably get a sunstroke. Pity about the tree, though. Pity about the... You're trying to teach me... This is a parable or something, isn't it? You're trying to teach me something, isn't it?
Attaboy, Jonah! Woo! With this little experiment, he's saying this. If you could feel so sorry for this tree that, after all, didn't cost you anything, why shouldn't God feel sorry for that great city, Nineveh, with over 120,000 humans there, with whom he's extended considerable trouble, but they can't even tell time, or their left hand from their right hand, and so much cattle?
Now, you've got a point there. I never did understand the harm in that cattle. But if I may, a question.
Anything I can do.
What does he want from my life? Why all this expensive business with a whale and the palm trees and so on?
You, mankind, can't see farther than the end of your nose.
So what's the answer?
Well, it's like this. You see, well, of course, you put it another... frankly, I don't know.
It should happen to a dog.
Me too! It's no joke trying to follow you around or any other prophet that I'm assigned all the time. You think it's a wonderful job to be an angel and do a few conjuring tricks? It should happen to a dog.
You know, come to think of it, on the other hand, whose dogs are we?
We are the dogs of God.
So...
Yeah?
Whatever happens to a dog...
must also happen to us.
Can you give me a ride home?
It'd be my pleasure. Step up to my rock.
Mm. Oh, you know, on the way back, we could stop by Tarshish. I've got lots of friends there.
Ah, me too. That's a great idea. And you hear that young Fifo is starting a new Starbucks on High Street.
I did hear that. I read it in the paper. Clever boy. I think Starbucks will catch on someday.
So I read Jonah, watched the play many times. Heard a couple of sermons on Jonah, and every time I hear it, I keep saying to myself, what is it that God is trying to tell me this time? Because it's interesting, I don't know about you, but when I read the Bible, I get different messages depending on where I am in my life at that time. But as I was reading it this time, I was struck by the fact that God is a God of second chances. And I wonder, have you ever been given a second chance? like a significant second chance. I remembered, as I was thinking about that this back, way back, when I was in college, I was a freshman in college, and I had a paper that was due, and I did not start on it until the night before it was due. Don't do this. But I was a freshman in college, not in the best place in my life. I was not happy. Things weren't going particularly well for me, and I was kind of fed up. So I just wrote it at the last minute, and I turned it in. And after I turned it in, I thought, oh my gosh, that was just dumb. Why would you do that? I was sure I was going to fail it. I got a note from the professor, and he said, come see me in my office. And I walked across campus, and I thought, this is it. He's going to fail me. I am going to have to be a freshman in college again. Everything is falling apart. And so I walked into his office, and he was sitting at his desk, and he looked up at me, and he took my pathetic paper, and he went like this, and he just dropped it in the trash can. And he said, you're better than this. Try again. And there it was. Second chance. I did not deserve it. I certainly had not earned it. But he saw something in me that said, you should have her try it again. As Christians, we call this grace. Grace is something that is unearned, unmerited favor, undeserved. It's something that God gives us in great abundance. And when you watch the story of Jonah, you see it in such obvious full color. Like, Jonah kept messing up. He did everything he could to go against what God was asking him to do. And God was asking him to do very significant stuff, and he just kept turning away and turning away, and God kept saying, Jonah, Jonah, pay attention. I have something in store for you. He does this. God does this all through the Bible. You see it in the very beginning from Adam and Eve where they mess up. They pay consequences, but God doesn't abandon them. Noah in the flood, David, King David, he does a lot of stuff to mess up, and God still calls him back. And he continues to call us back today. So this morning, we're going to take a few moments, and we're going to have a time of prayer. The band is going to come up, and they're going to sing a song, and we are going to have the opportunity to pray. And while you pray, I would invite you to ask God a couple of things. First of all, I will be saying, thank you, God, that you are a God of second chances. Thank you that for all the times that I've messed up in my life, for all the times I've turned away from the opportunity that you put in front of me, you came back and you offered me again another chance. And then I'm going to say, God, could you help me pay attention and could you help me follow through? The playwright, the person that wrote this play, he finished the story of Jonah for us. He gave Jonah insight that the Bible doesn't give us. The Bible leaves you hanging. We don't know whether Jonah got it or didn't get it. I think it could have gone either way. Jonah could have remained stuck in his stubbornness. He could have remained an ungrateful, cranky person. But it's also possible that he got it. Imagine what could have happened if Jonah got it. If finally, in that desert, he realized that what God was doing was giving him grace, and what God was doing was asking him to play a part in this wonderful scheme of life. What could Jonah have done with that knowledge? I think there's opportunity for us. So while the band sings, I'm going to invite you to pray. And then I'll come up and finish it off, and we'll pray together, and then we'll sing.